Blog Talk Radio.
Ready for some fun facts about Cleveland? There are none. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns football program. Oh wait, you don't have one because Cleveland has the magical ability to turn draft picks into drug addicts. Along with your signing bonus and workout bonus, is there a guaranteed bonus if you don't go to rehab within the first 2 years? I think your player development program isn't working primarily because your city is a dump.
You're listening to That's What She Said with Casey Wallace on MSL Radio. No sugar-coated cupcake sports talk here, guys. We're just going to keep it real, and we're going to have some fun while we're doing it.
Hey guys, I'm your host, Casey Wallach, and you're listening to That's What She Said. You can follow me on Twitter, at Casey Wallach. I hope everybody is doing well on a college football Saturday. We've had some big games today. If you want to call in to the show, the number is 646-716-6972. Before we get into main topics, I'd like to give a big shout-out to Texas and Coach Charlie Strong. For beating number 10 Oklahoma and Hook'em Horns. I'm a big Longhorns fan. It was really neat to see after the game, you know, how happy Coach Strong was and the team and just how much they were celebrating. I mean, they were celebrating like they won, you know, a national championship, but it was just something special to see if you got to see it. Especially after all the, you know, talk this past week, especially with the, you know, problems in the locker room with the player, or, you know, after last week with the one player, you know, tweeting out or retweeting somebody saying he should transfer to Texas A&M, and this whole divide between the freshmen and upperclassmen. So, you know, they came together and they played pretty well today, and it was impressive. It's definitely the spark they needed, and I hope they keep going forward and playing well. Just want to give them a congrats though for winning the Red River Showdown. So, let's start the show with, all right, we're going to do Wally's Week 5 predictions. Now, Week 4, I went 10-5, Week 3, 11-5, so pretty good. Now, we know the Jets, the Dolphins, Minnesota, and Carolina have byes this week. So, first category are sure bets, in my opinion. First is the Falcons over the Redskins. Atlanta's playing lights out on both sides of the ball, and, you know, it is what it is. Buffalo over Tennessee, Patriots over the Cowboys, and, you know, I can't bet against Tom Brady and coming off a bye week. So, and then Broncos over Oakland. So those are the four sure bets. Then the next category is more probable than not. I got the Bengals over Seattle, Ravens over the Browns, the Packers over the Rams. You know, it depends which Rams team shows up, because Green Bay's offensive line needs to hold up against, you know, the Rams defense. And, you know, the Rams are, you know, they're one way one week, another way another week. Arizona over Detroit. But at the same time, I'm not going to count out an 0-4 team at home with a good defense that's, you know, hungry for that win. And then final one in this category is the Giants over the 49ers. Now, the final category is use your discretion, which means basically, it's a toss-up. The first one I had, which I already lost on, was the Texans over the Colts. Hasselbeck was a real trooper the other night. You know, he's 40 years old. He's playing with bacterial infection. He's had IVs all week, but he went out there and he did it. And then the Jaguars over the Bucks, the Eagles over the Saints, and the Steelers over the Chargers. So those are my Week 5 predictions. Do with them what you will. All right, so there's a big game in Florida tonight. College football game. In case you've been living under a rock, the University of Miami is playing the Florida State Seminoles, and as we all know, that is a huge rivalry game, and rivalry games are always fun. UM has dropped 5 straight to Florida State, and, you know, this game is really like a must-win for Miami in many ways, not just for the rivalry. obviously, you know, the disenchantment and frustration with Al Golden is basically at an all-time high. And, you know, especially coming off that, like, horrible, terrible loss to Cincinnati last week. You know, Kai said, you know, after the they had a meeting, you know, and the teams post the Cincy loss, and he said that one of, you know, one thing a few guys said is that we don't have to lose anymore to learn. And then, quote, we recognize what we did wrong. Enough is enough is basically what was said. Let's just come out this week inspired. So let's hope they got inspired, you know, and because they, you know, Kai said he addressed their inability to finish plays in games. You know, we all know that against Nebraska, they nearly blew a 23-quarter lead. And against Cincinnati, they couldn't generate any productivity offensively in the second half, even though they had multiple chances. The last two games, they had 19 penalties, and a lot of those took points off the table or squashed their scoring opportunities. So, I mean, they've got stuff that they need to fix, but it's not like it's not fixable. I don't know if it can be done, you know, turned around that quickly. Now, there are a lot of analysts that believe that this game is winnable for Miami. Florida State, obviously, is not as dominant an opponent as it was the past 2 years. You know, no more Jameis Winston and you know, other losses. Florida State quarterback Everett Golson has been just so-so as of late. You know, nothing to write home about. You know, Miami needs to create turnovers and force interceptions. Right now, they lead the ACC in turnover margin with +9, and they're second in interceptions. They've got 8 on the season, so that's important. You know, Miami is the most opportunistic, you know, taking advantage of those defensive, chances team that Florida State's going to face this season. I think I saw something that their four previous opponents have forced 14 turnovers total against Florida State. Extremely important that Miami takes advantage of that and capitalizes on that, preferably with points, if possible, to lessen the pressure on the offense. You know, Florida State has a shaky offensive line, and so Miami's defensive line needs to force Golson out of the pocket where he can, you know, probably make some mistakes. And most importantly for the defensive line is that they need to contain Dalvin Cook. We all know how much damage that Dalvin Cook can do when he gets an open lane. I mean, he is dominant on that field. Very impressive player to watch also. But Miami needs to keep him on a short leash. And then as far as Kai goes, you know, he needs to step up. He's gone from number one in the ACC at pass efficiency to number 8 in 1 year. Obviously, like I said before, that third down conversion has been a real struggle and a real problem all season. Right now, Miami ranks 126 out of 127 total teams at only a 24% conversion rate. So that's something that definitely needs to improve. And then the biggest problem for Miami is that Miami can't finish and, you know, finish the game, and Florida State understands how to finish the game. You know, like I said earlier, Miami builds up a big lead, they get conservative, and then they just lose momentum, and it's just like game over. And Miami needs this win not just to end the losing streak, but to prove that there's actual progress and improvement being made and they aren't continuing to digress. So that's basically, you know, my thoughts on that. But one thing we all know for sure tonight is that planes will be flying and there's going to be banners everywhere. So, Dolphins shakeups. There's some off-the-field stuff. Obviously, we had two coaches get fired and head coach Joe Philbin and defensive coordinator Kevin Coyle, and then they brought in Muscles Campbell as their interim head coach. But first I was going to start with, you know, this whole thing with Tannehill kind of bullying or, you know, talking down to, you know, the practice squad, you know, and everything, and how that kind of came out. You know, you don't like to, you know, teams don't like that kind of dirty laundry coming out in public. You know, Tannehill is extremely competitive and, you know, all this he said these offensive struggles have angered him significantly, and, you know, and basically what originally was quoted by Aaron Wilson of the NFL Post was, Tannehill, cornerbacks on the practice squad were causing turnovers or interceptions in a practice before the game against the Jets. You know, he would get upset that they picked him off and all, and he said, well, allegedly said, enjoy your practice squad check, enjoy your practice squad trophy. Tannehill has since come out and said that he admitted the comments about the practice squad trophies, but he didn't say anything about their practice squad checks or their paychecks or whatever. And he's very, you know, very upset that people were slandering him as far as the financial component. Part of this, you know, also like goes back on Philbin a little bit because, you know, he may have lost the team a little bit because he started to baby Tannehill because Philbin would, after all the, you know, after the practice squad was intercepting Tannehill and all that stuff, Philbin told those players to make sure they take it easy on Tanny so they don't shake his confidence. And obviously that's going to make players uneasy with their head coach. And Tannehill has been making mistakes in practice for a few weeks now. And apparently it's not the first time he's belittled or demeaned other players for his mistakes. You know, everybody was frustrated on the team, and Tannehill's supposed to be a team leader, and he can't handle his frustration that way in that role. You know, it can't sit well with his teammates that, you know, this guy is your supposed leader, you know, and he can't take criticism very well. Obviously, everything was so dysfunctional down there in Miami, and, you know, we saw it come to a head today, or this week, I'm sorry. One interesting thing, though, was that came out in amid this whole Tannehill thing was that apparently Tom Brady paid practice squad players who picked him off, and that was via his former teammate, Dante Stallworth. And Stallworth also said, comparing Brady and Tannehill is like comparing a battleship to a rowboat. You know, Tannehill kind of needs to learn a lesson from one of the greatest. You know, eat some humble pie and focus on improving rather than taking it out on people just trying to, you know, do their job. So regarding Joe Philbin, obviously, you know, he's out and all that. Stephen Ross, I guess, called him to let him know, which, you know, I'm not really a big fan of that. You know, no coach since Don Shula has completed more than four full seasons with Miami. So it's kind of like a rotating carousel down in Miami, just on moving on to the next. And I know Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Packers, said he was disappointed. Like, everybody said that that Joe Philbin is, you know, a guy with the highest character, integrity, and that he's a great football coach. You know, Philbin was great in Green Bay in 2011. That was as the offensive coordinator, it was their highest scoring season in franchise history, and that's when, after that season, he was hired as Miami's head coach. So, good luck to Philbin. You know, it's just his demeanor's, you know, different and everything, and they just needed something to spark the team back to life. So, and then, you know, obviously they fired Kevin Coyle. Obviously he had lost all the confidence of the defensive players, and the defense currently ranks in the bottom half of the NFL in almost every significant defensive statistic, particularly they're dead last in rush yards allowed. So, and then, you know, the players had that closed door meeting with Coyle to kind of air things out, and it was real blunt and honest and kind of combative. Tried to, you know, ask them to simplify. I don't know if they didn't simplify enough, but they just weren't, like, he wasn't letting, like, players that are explosive and aggressive be explosive, like, and aggressive during the game. You know, they want to attack. They don't want to sit and wait and everything. You got to use those defensive players to their strengths. So, let's see what time. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, I will talk a little bit about Man Campbell, and then we'll talk about why Greg Hardy needs to stop fucking.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer from Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? working for MSL as a writer, even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help wanting to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Err at Stephen_Err@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime, increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632.
Ready for some fun facts about Cleveland? There are none. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns football program. Oh, wait, you don't have one because Cleveland has the magical ability to turn draft picks into drug addicts. Along with your signing bonus and workout bonus, is there a guaranteed bonus if you don't go to rehab within the first 2 years? I think your player development program isn't working primarily because your city is a dump.
You're listening to That's What She Said. Casey Wallace on MSL Radio. No sugar-coated cupcakes or talk here, guys. We're just going to keep it real, and we're going to have some fun while we're doing it.
All right, so we're back. Back to Dolphins talk for a little bit. Wondering, is Dan Campbell the answer for the Miami Dolphins? Now, the funny thing is that Stephen Ross said that he's never spent a lot of time with Dan, but he's spoken to people. Obviously, again, it's interesting that you go down to make your head coach, your interim head coach, to the tight end coach. You know, you skip any coordinators, you know, higher up coaches, obviously because the coordinators are incompetent. We know that. But 5 years ago, he was a coaching intern, and now he's the interim head coach of the Finns. So, I don't know. He's intimidating, I'll tell you that. You know, he's very meatheadish, possibly. I've been calling him Coach Muscles. Dan Le Batard's been calling him Man Campbell, all that. You know, obviously, first impressions, he's the complete opposite coaching personality of Philbin. Extremely intense. He reminds me of a gladiator. And I'm thinking he probably approaches life's day-to-day activities like a gladiator. He wants players to violently compete and towards building a winning environment. And he talks a lot about things having to get heated in practice. A lot of words I've seen to describe him, you know, reading up on him is tough, strong, energy, confidence, intensity, great worker, determined, passion, competitive, enthusiasm, commands a room, relates to players, all that stuff. Obviously, he started out his first practice with doing an Oklahoma drill, which is one where the players, you know, get in a long line, offense on one side, defense on the other, and in the middle, two combatants duke it out. Just so you know, a little FYI, most NFL teams have stopped using this drill because of all the concussion litigation and, you know, CTE and all that stuff. But this is what he did on his first practice. Now, the players commented on it. You know, most of them seemed to enjoy it, and it was like what they needed. Juice said it was something to kind of get the blood flowing a little and get some intensity going. You know, he thinks it's what they needed. Left tackle Brandon Albert said, Dan brings the energy that we need, and everybody can relate to him because he's a former player. And, quote, it's time for all of us to step up and stop talking, including myself, and that is what we need to do. You know, safety, Michael Thomas said it just felt different out there. It was very competitive, and we liked it. Jordan Cameron said that regarding the practice, it was like every rep was basically a competition. It was mano a mano, going against one another, another guy trying to beat him. That energy of competition brings out a little bit more juice. I think that's what we're looking for, that daily fight, that grind. So, I mean, you know, the players are obviously embracing it right now. You know, Dan Campbell, who's probably one of his more famous quotes from his initial press conference was, I'm going to talk the talk and walk the walk and you follow me. You know, he's talked about different ways to motivate players. You know, some players need a kick in the butt. Some need to be patted on the back. Some need to be told they're not good enough. You know, he says he understands players. You know, he wants hard-nosed guys that go out every practice like they're, you know, ultra-competitive and just fueled with intensity. Very intense. He keeps saying intense all the time and very heated. Like, those are his two favorite words, I'm pretty sure. He said they're going to play by the rules, but they're going to be much more aggressive. They're going to walk the line. He's not saying he wants dirty players, but he wants them playing, you know, he doesn't want any conservative playing. You know, they're going, like you're saying, they're going to go through a wall and all this kind of stuff like that. You know, he said something that the drill was about, or the practice was about being primates again. And, you know, because there was a little dust up with Landry and one of the defensive players, and, you know, obviously he doesn't want them fighting, but, you know, he's like, if guys get a little heated and they go after it a little bit, we might have some of that, but, you know, you got to push them to the brink, and sometimes stuff like that's going to happen. So we'll see after this bye week, and then they're playing against the Titans and the Texans. You know, we'll see how this experiment works so far and, you know, how motivated the players get. So on to Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy talks way too much. And he's not really the person that should be talking. And he says all the wrong things. Like, it's ridiculous. Actually, today, before I get into what he said the other day, apparently TMZ Sports got access to a music video he recorded in 2014 after he was convicted of, you know, assaulting his ex-girlfriend, that he did with a rapper, Ja Allen or Jay Allen, something like that, in which there's, you know, gunfire sounds, you know, marijuana imaging, and a lot of strippers. So, And it's basically like him saying, like, I'm just going to be mean, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. You'll probably see it on Twitter, maybe. But anyway, so the other day, I'll start with the Tom Brady, you know, talking about Giselle and all that stuff. You know, in total, like, these statements that he made, like, seemed inappropriate for any NFL player. I mean, and then let alone this guy who was found guilty of domestic violence. You know, and domestic violence is, you know, an indicator of disrespect towards women or, you know, seeing him in a chauvinistic type way, I guess I would say. So he was asked about facing Tom Brady. You know, he hopes to see Tom Brady hit the ground a few times Sunday. But then he goes on to say, I love seeing Tom Brady. He's cool as crap. And then he says, have you seen his wife? I hope she comes to the game. I hope her sister comes to the game. All of her friends come to the game. One of my favorite games of the year, guys. So Tom Brady was asked on Wednesday for a response to Hardy's comments, if they kicked him off. You know, he gave that typical football response to start. You know, no, I'm just getting ready to play. I'm focused on my job. You know, he said Hardy's a great player. They need to prepare to handle his defensive different movements and all that. But then in true Tom Brady fashion, you know, he says a lot without saying much. He ended his response with, quote, I really don't care about his personal feelings. And Tom Brady speaks, that translation is bleep that guy. You know, Tom Brady's already pissed off. He's fired up and punishing opponents on the field. You know, I'm thinking, Greg Hardy, do you really want to poke the bear? But again, Greg Hardy is getting in self-awareness and all that. Then later, Hardy was asked by a reporter if he knew that Blake Bortles' girlfriend, who is now his ex-girlfriend, was attractive. He said, quote, is she? This kind of information is important. That's how I select my Pro Bowls. First of all, why is a reporter even asking that? And second, again, this guy is so unbelievably tone deaf. And then, of course, there's, you know, the whole guns blazing, you know, where he said that he told reporters that he hopes to come out guns blazing against the Patriots on Sunday. A lot of people think that that was just a, you know, it wasn't meant intentionally or anything, but it was obviously not the right thing to say because he's coming back from a suspension for domestic violence that originated from an incident where he threw his then ex-girlfriend onto a futon covered with rifles. You know, obviously, you know, the charges were dropped because, you know, they had a settlement and then they couldn't find her for the appeal case. No, there's not a video, you know, that whole thing, et cetera. But unlike Ray Rice, he's not apologizing for any of his acts of domestic violence. He called his time away from the game the most awesome period of my life. Man, I'm a Dallas Cowboy, dream come true, quote. And they asked him what he learned most through his ordeal is that he's, quote, a really good pass rusher when I put my mind to it. And his central concerns now are winning and getting sacked, and I'm really good at that. They asked him if he had any intentions of speaking out against domestic violence. He talked about just sticking, quote, to the game plan. It's all about football. That's what they paid for, and I love my fans, so I would not dare let them down. And that response, the game plan response, was when he was asked how much of his return was about football and how much was proving, like, what kind of man he could be or, like, that he was going to try to be a better man. So his priorities are a little concerning, a little troubling. How tone deaf he is definitely troubling. You know, he's not paying any mind to the scandal that kept him out of football for over a year, and basically celebrating his return from suspension that came from pretty serious allegations with comments that are, you know, dismissive and flippant and sexist, chauvinistic, and obviously completely lacking self-awareness or any semblance of contrition or remorse. Like, he didn't even pretend, like, to try and show regret. Like, he didn't even give a semi-apology or just, like, a canned statement, you know. Like, I lost my way, I have grown as a person. No, he's not giving you nothing. And this guy's going to play Sunday. Whereas, on the other hand, you know, you have Ray Rice, who gave a sincere, from-the-heart, passionate apology and stated, quote, domestic violence is real. And Ray Rice isn't on a team right now. And in my opinion, I don't think that is fair at all. Jason Garrett, you know, tried to, you know, dissuade the situation by saying that, you know, he talked to Hardy, but they addressed it. You know, he knows that we can't do that, all that kind of stuff. But then, of course, they go talk to Jerry Jones and ask him about what he said about Giselle. And Jerry Jones says, quote, when I saw him marry her, Tom went up in my eyes 100%. She's very attractive, and it shows what an outstanding individual Tom is. I'm confused. Like, how does having a beautiful wife become a testament to what kind of person you are? Like, so, you know, you have Garrett handling the situation properly, and then Jerry Jones' response was totally ill-advised, foolish, and just completely contradicted his head coach's efforts to defuse the situation. But you know what? It's Dallas, so what's new? Owner, coach, opposite page, and more distractions. So that's all the time we had for today. Sorry we couldn't get into a little bit more actual on-the-field football stuff, but you've been listening to That's What She Said on MSL Radio, and we'll be back next Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. And thanks, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your sports weekend. You're going down for it.